Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your presence. And God, we thank you for hearing our prayers, hearing our words of worship, and responding. So God, I pray that you would take every distraction away from us so that we might be open to hear the word that you have to say to us this morning. God, and I pray that through your Spirit, Lord, that you would implant that word deeply within our hearts in such a way that it changes the way that we live day to day. God, we love you. We thank you for meeting us here. And God, we pray that we be changed through this encounter. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to open up your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Again, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, a fairly well-known passage of Scripture. You have to bear with me using the handheld this morning. I had some technical difficulties with the other mic. So if I don't know what to do with my hands, just bear with me this morning. This week, I had an issue that I needed to work through, that I needed to talk through. You know when you have those kinds of issues, you know, you just need somebody to be quiet and listen, not necessarily to try to fix whatever it is that you're giving them, but just somebody that you can lay your stress and your worry on. Y'all have those people in your life, I would presume. One of mine is a good buddy that I went to school with, that I've worked with in the past, and we still talk at least weekly, if not more often than that, just dealing with different things that we both face in the ministry, as we are both serving in local church ministry. And when I talk with this good friend, again, I don't always come out of it with solutions, what I should do about whatever it is that I'm offering him, and I don't always give him solutions when he tells me something that's going on in his world. But that's not really the whole point of it. The whole point of it is just to have somebody to share that time with, to share those frustrations with, to share those joys with, to share those problems with, whatever they might be, and find some kind of common ground in the things that we both go through. And even if I don't come out with a solution, like, okay, here's A, B, and C, what I need to do to fix all of this, even if I don't come out with a solution, still what happens is I find myself being encountered by a peace, being encountered by just a sense of freedom from whatever it is that I've been laying on him for the last 30 minutes or whatever, however long our conversation was. You see, because a good relationship changes you. A good relationship changes you. When you have a relationship with another human being, you are left different by your encounter, by your relationships with those people in your life. Now, those of you who are married, you know that to be the case for sure. Those of you who had really good parents, you know that to be the case as well, that when you have a good relationship, your life changes. And so who is that person or who are those people for you? Is it a family member, a mentor? Is it a close friend, a best friend? Those of you who are Broadway fans or Wizard of Oz fans, as Glinda and Elphaba sing in the Broadway hit Wicked, right? Because I knew you, I am changed for good, right? Because when we have relationships with people, we change for good, like consistently, but for the better as well. Relationships change us. And so for the last couple of weeks now, we have been looking at prayer. And we discussed at the beginning that prayer is, at its heart, a relationship between us and God. That first sermon over prayer and looking at God showing Moses his glory and Moses just wanting to know God more, we looked at the fact that prayer is, or why we pray, is to know and be known by our Father God. Because at its heart, prayer is a relationship. And last week, we looked at the fact that when God's people intercede through prayer, things change. That God interacts or intercedes on our behalf when we go to him in prayer and ask him to do things. God does indeed respond to our prayer in some sovereign plan that he has, that he worked everything out, and he moves according to our prayer, and things change when God's people intercede through prayer. And so because we know that prayer is at its heart a relationship with our Father God, and that prayer changes things, we know that prayer should change, first of all, ourselves. Prayer should change me. Much like when we talk to a good friend and we leave that conversation feeling better or at least feeling lighter about whatever it is that we just laid off on that individual, prayer should always leave us feeling those same kind of thoughts. Prayer should change us. So this morning, the big idea, the one thing that prayer should always change is me. The one thing that prayer should always change is me. The Apostle Paul, more than most people these days, understood the transforming power of prayer. That when we encounter God through prayer, we are transformed, we are changed. It is obvious that he valued prayer deeply in his own life by the way that he talks about it throughout his epistles. And we see this in the way he talks about his own trials. Paul is not one to ever become frightened about the things that he is going through or to become downtrodden because things aren't necessarily going his direction because he has several things to endure. Instead, he seems always consistently resolute, pressing forward to whatever God has for him because he has spent time in prayer, spent time being calmed by the peace of God, which we're about to see transcends all understanding. And when the world presses in on Paul with all of its stress and all of its worry, Paul knew what to do with that stress and that worry. He knew where to take it. And that's what we're about to read in this passage, this well-known passage in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Again, starting in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul starts with a nearly impossible command, nearly impossible suggestion in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, he says. Anxiety is ever present in our world today, isn't it? Have you gone through a day without feeling anxious at all in any way? If so, then whatever medicine you're taking, I would like some of it, okay? If so, whatever kind of meditation ritual you're going through, I would like some of it. Because here's the fact. Anxiety is ever present in a very anxious world that we live in. It's something that we can't readily get away from. Its effects hurt us physically. They cause things like ulcers. They cause things like heart disease. We've talked about this before, the physical aspect of worry that it has on our soul and on our body. But it also has emotional consequences as well, where it leaves us not only in our own heart feeling a little bit out of sorts, but even in our relationships where things seem to break down because the emotional relationships we have, they turn different when there's stress and when there's anxiety in the midst of it. And certainly they also hurt us spiritually. They can be something that puts a distance between us and God. Things that cause us anxiety can be something that put a distance between us and God, where we find ourselves consistently worried about what's going on around us, and that keeps us from calmly, peacefully finding that joy and that hope that we talk about, that we read about, that we sing about in church. It can drive a wedge between us and God. And anxiety builds up within us. Worry, frustration, whatever you want to give to the word anxiety, it builds up within us until we feel like we're about to explode. I have a nasty habit, one that Cheryl really doesn't like, and it's this. When I want something cold to drink, we have Cokes that we don't put in the fridge because we don't want to take up all the fridge space. And so I'll grab one of the Cokes, that's usually a Coke Zero or a ginger ale or something, and I'll put it in the freezer. And I think, I'll come back in 15 minutes and I'll have a cold drink. What happens? Maybe you know what this is like, right? I come back in an hour or 3 hours or the next day, whatever it might be, and I find that indeed my drink is cold, but it's spread all over the freezer, right? Because what happens? Because water, when it becomes ice, expands. The aluminum can is no longer able to hold that stress, and something breaks. It goes everywhere. It gets all over everything, and it makes a big mess. In the same way, when we have anxiety building up in us, it creates that same sense of pressure that is expanding, always expanding, pushing at our limits, waiting for us to explode, and eventually that anxiety will come out. Eventually, that anxiety will break us. It will find a way to get out of the way that we are trying with all of our power to hold it in. Because just like an aluminum can is not built to hold frozen soda, in the same way, you and I are not built to hold anxiety within ourselves, not to get it out some other way. So we can relieve it in many ways. We can relieve that stress in many unhealthy ways. We can do it by taking out that stress on other people. That's those of us who are in families. That's one of the most common ways, isn't it? Where we find ourselves getting aggravated, getting more irritable at whether it's the wife or our husband, or whether it's a child, or whether it's a dog, or, you know, someone else, whether it's a stranger that you don't, that you're passing by on the road that cuts you off in traffic, and you lay on the horn and you say all sorts of things and shake your fist. We find a way to let that stress out somehow. That's not the only unhealthy way we can do it. We can let that stress out by turning to unhealthy habits, by turning to addictions, by numbing ourselves somehow and just sitting in front of the television for hours because it doesn't seem like there's anything else that we can handle at the moment. There's lots of ways to handle anxiety in an unhealthy fashion. But we can also find a healthy way to vent, to let off steam. Those are words that we use when it comes to anxiety and stress. Where did we get the idea? Humanity, I'm asking in general, but also you in particular. Where did we get the idea that we don't need help dealing with our stress? Where did we get that idea that we can handle it on our own? The I got this mentality that so many of us Americans seem to have. Where did we get that idea? Because I think that idea is at the heart of a lot of illness. I think that idea is at the heart of a lot of loneliness. I think that idea is at the heart of a lot of broken relationships. Where did we get the idea that I got this? Because we didn't have it when we were children. If something went wrong when we were a child, what did we do? We ran to mom or dad. Mom, dad, fix it. I know, I have a three-year-old. That's the way it works, right? They come to you and they want you in the moment to fix it. And as long as they're there and you're there, then everything is fine because you can handle whatever situation is coming up in life. That's how we were when we were children. We ran to mom or dad with any stress or worry that we had. And that's why when we were children, one of the reasons why, when we were children, we were so carefree. While we could be at one moment, and I know this from having a three-year-old, at one moment we could be screaming bloody murder and then 30 seconds later laughing hysterically, right? Because we could unload that stress or that worry on mom or dad. They could handle it, and then we could go about the business of being a child. So when did we develop this idea of, I got this? At some magic point, we learned a phrase that we use over and over again in society today that might be one of the biggest lies we tell ourselves. We learned this phrase, I'm okay. Isn't that one of the biggest lies that our culture tells ourselves today? Somebody asks you how you're doing. I'm okay. What does that even mean, I'm okay? Just one of those things that we say without really thinking because that's the way that we're supposed to respond. You know how it works, right? When you meet somebody and they say, hey, how are you doing? You think that they say, hey, how are you doing? But they said something else, right? And so you find yourself responding, I'm good, how are you? Without even thinking, even though they didn't even ask you how you are, because it's so rote in the way that we answer, in the way that we interact with each other, and it's so it deals so much with habit and not necessarily with truth that we find ourselves saying things like that. I'm okay. One of the most oft-repeated lies of humankind today. Where did we get the idea that we don't need anybody's help? You see, God is our Father, and He wants to take care of you. God is your Father, and He wants to take care of you. So I was putting this sermon together, I wrote that line down, and I thought, well, maybe that's something we put on the screen, maybe that's not, but really, that's just a very simple truth. Everybody knows that to be the case, but sometimes we need to stop and meditate over that fact. God is our Father, and He wants to take care of you. It's not that He will because nobody else is going to step up to the plate. No, He wants to take care of you. He wants to be the one who hears and deals with and takes on Himself your stress and your worry. And so if God wants your anxiety, why not give it to Him? Why not give Him what He wants? Why not allow Him to be the Father that He is? So Paul says, be anxious in nothing, but in everything. Through prayer and supplication. It's not as if Paul is saying, okay, calm down, quit stressing out already, pull yourself together, everything's going to be okay. That's not what Paul is saying when he says be anxious about nothing. Instead, he is saying, no, you need to let it out, okay? I'm not telling you not to be anxious. I'm telling you to be anxious in prayer. I'm telling you to be worried in prayer. I'm telling you to be frustrated in prayer. And again, we have a lot of this in Scripture. Well, people, the Psalms, for instance, I always hearken back to them when it comes to people being truthful in prayer, where people give to God them true selves and lay it all out in front of God and allow Him to respond. Are we being that same Are we having that same sense of honesty when we approach God in prayer? When I think of prayer in this sense, it makes me think of a diary. Now, I've never had a diary. I've tried to journal a couple of times. But I know that some people had diaries. I had two older sisters. They both had diaries. I read them a couple of times. Amen? So they both had diaries. I was that little brother, yes. And I know that when you have something like that, you have a journal, you have a diary, you just let it all out. And that's the purpose, right? Because you know nobody else is going to read it. It's your way to write it all down. I do find it therapeutic to write things down. And when I talked about talking with my friend before, a lot of times I'll send him a big, long text message where I can just get everything that I'm going through out, and he can respond in whatever fashion that he wants to. Because there's something therapeutic, again, about just getting it all out. In a sense, prayer can be that for you and me. Prayer can be that opportunity where we can just go on a diatribe before the Lord. Now, I've talked about the fact that sometimes we need to listen, yes, but if something is bubbling up within you, you have to find a release. You have to find some way to vent. God is not only your father, God is also your friend. But unlike your human friends, God never grows weary of hearing what's on your mind. God never gets tired of you. God never says, I'm done. Would you please be quiet? God never says, it's time for me to go to bed. I need to get off the phone. God never says, get back with me next week. I've had enough of your stress for one day. God never says anything like that. Instead, God consistently makes himself available to us because he wants to be the one who will meet our need to get rid of that stress and worry that all of us have on a day-to-day basis. God is your friend, but he's not like the rest of your friends. He never, ever, ever gets tired of you. And so what do? You unload. When you go to God in prayer, you unload. You give it all you got. You give him everything that's on your heart. That's why the idea of a confessional booth in the Catholic Church, that's why that's so persuasive to many people. That's why that's so attractive to many people. Because you get to go in this little booth, and you get to go on some sense of anonymity, and you get to lay out all of your junk for somebody else to handle. And so you're not the only one dealing with it. The reason why that's super attractive is because there's really not any consequence. Now, if you confess to hurting someone, that's probably going to be a consequence. But most of the time, there's not going to be a consequence to you laying all of that out there. Now, it's a little different with God. You know, God is a God who loves us and disciplines us, and there's always going to be consequences for our actions, but that's going to be there whether we confess and whether we open up or not. But am I the only one that finds that attractive? That finds that possibility, that opportunity to go before God and just lay it all out? Am I the only one that finds that attractive, that finds that idea to be refreshing about something that might bring rest and might bring peace? Look, I know I'm the pastor of a Southern Baptist church, and I'm a 32-year-old kid, right? So I should be pretty stress-free. I should have a pretty good life. I should be the guy who's, pastors, we got it all together, right? You know, pastors, you know that's a lie, okay? Usually you're friends with me or friends with your previous pastor or friends with any other pastor. You know that we don't have it all together. You know that we have stress and worry. And I live in the same exact world that you guys do. I know that you have stress and worry. I know that you have problems. I know that you have frustrations. I know that your kids and your grandkids are making decisions that are driving you nuts. I know that this world seems to be out of whack with the way that you were raised. I know that there's all sorts of things going in on this world and going on in your world that are driving you to the point of frustration, wanting to pull your hair out, wanting to say, somebody, would you just listen to what's going on in my life? And we don't take God's opportunity. We don't take the opportunity that he's given us to allow him to be that person. And instead, when we pray, we make it all nicey-nice, and we pray in these and thous in King James English, and we make it like everything is fine, and we're just going to present these requests to God, when instead, our prayer can be a conversation, just like that friend that we vent to. Our prayer can be, God, I don't know what to do about this. I don't even know if there's an answer because it's dealing with somebody else's will, but here's what's going on. I'm just going to lay it out. And maybe you find yourself saying things that you didn't even fully articulate before, and you didn't even know were true and know were going on, and you just open up and you allow it to pour out to the God who wants to handle those things. And when you unload, Paul tells us, a funny thing happens. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we unload our stress and our worry to the God who loves us, peace comes. Notice that Paul says words like supplication and present your requests to God. What Paul doesn't go on to say is after you pray that God will answer your requests, that God will give you exactly what you wanted. No, instead he says, do those things and God will give you peace. Not answers, necessarily, just peace. Just, as if that's all it is. As if peace is somehow less than answers, when peace is really what we are all after in the beginning. You see, God might not always give you everything you pray for, but he will always give you himself. And that is why prayer is so meaningful. That is why prayer is so powerful. God might not always give you everything you ask for, but he will always give you himself and the fullness of himself. It's like being out in the cold. I know that's hard to imagine right now because it's kind of a hot weekend in the middle of September, but you know cold is coming. They tell us El Nino is going to be really high this year, and so there's going to be snow and all that stuff. You know cold weather is coming, and we'll have at least one big cold snap where there's ice and snow and all that stuff here in North Texas. You know that day's coming. And it's like being there on one of those days, not being prepared for it because it's usually so warm. And you go outside without thinking. You're in a hurry to get to work. So you don't have time to go back and change after you realize it. But you go out, or I would go out, cargo shorts and a t-shirt. Right? And you think everything's going to be fine. And you get to work and you realize you're going to be outside all day. Or, something is going on where you have to be around or walking around outside and you find yourself freezing to death. What Paul is saying prayer is like in this sense is it's not like God just turns up the temperature valve, right? It's not like God just automatically changes everything around you because you're cold. No, what he does is he brings out the winter garments. He brings out the big sweater. He brings out the overalls. He brings out the thermal underwear, whatever it might be. God brings it out and clothes you with it. And even though it's still cold around you, it's warm inside. That's the kind of peace that God is talking about. No matter what happens around us, God can change what is within us. Peace comes when we lay it all out before God. That word peace, the biblical word shalom, it means peace, obviously, the absence of war, the absence of strife, but it also means the absence of anxiety. It means completeness, fulfillment. One of my favorites, it means rest. It means ease. It means comfort. Imagine feeling that peace today. If you find yourself in the midst of an anxious moment, when I say moment, I mean months at some periods, maybe even years. If you find yourself in the midst of an anxious moment or in the midst of frustration or strife or anger or worry, imagine peace today. Imagine completeness. Imagine wholeness. And imagine one thing our society is in desperate need of. Imagine rest in the arms of God. The one thing that prayer should always change is me. Are you in need of peace this morning? If you say no, chances are that you might be in need of it more than you think. More than you realize. Chances are you haven't quieted yourself enough to realize how desperately in need of peace you really are. Again, I live in the same world that all of you do. I know that there is an unimaginable amount of stress, worry, anxiety, and frustration seeking to render us either irate or numb, or we don't feel anything. But that can change. You can change. God can change all of us. Not by finding someone or something to unload all of your stress and worry on and anger. Not by turning back to that unhealthy habit or just vegging out in front of the television and being numb to what's going on around you. Not by doing anything other than placing your sole hope upon God and allowing him to bring out of the chaos peace into your life. Sure, it doesn't make sense now that God could bring peace in the midst of frustration. But Paul knew that. And that's why he said that this peace surpasses all understanding. And when that peace comes, something happens. Something changes. And that thing that changes is you. No matter what may swirl around us, no matter what storms may engulf us in this world today, God's peace, sheltered by your prayers, can change you and can reign supreme within you. The one thing that prayer should always change is me. every time I encounter God, every time I have a moment alone with God, it should change me somewhat, maybe just slightly. But every time that I interact with the most sovereign God, with the creator of the heavens and the earth, with the one who sent his son Jesus to die for me, every time I have a chance to react or to interact with that God, I should be different. Paul knew that. And that's why he talked about this peace. If you want peace this morning, there is one place to turn, and his name is Jesus Christ. So if you are here this morning and you don't know, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I would love to lead you in that direction. You can come down during our time of invitation and I can pray to lead you in that direction, or you can find me after the service and we can talk about it then. And if there's anything going on in your world that is bringing frustration or a lack of peace that you need to pray about, that you can do that where you are. You can come down and pray at the altar, or you can pray with me during the time of invitation or after our service is completed. Know that you're not bothering God. Know that God wants to be your father. He wants to listen to what's going on in your world. You're not putting him out. Instead, you are allowing him to do the thing that he made you for, to interact with you in that way. So take this time to allow God to change you by bringing peace into your life. Every week during this prayer series, we have given, or I have given you homework, right? Whether it's praying just for yourself or praying for the rest of the world through intercession. Today, your homework is going to be, when you pray this week, take time every day to unload. Act as if God is a diary. Act as if God through prayer is a journal. And whatever frustration, whatever you're dealing with, don't, you can ask him to fix it if you want to, but what I'm really just asking you to do is just to, in prayer, unload it all. Maybe you write it down. Maybe that's the way you do that. So maybe you do need to journal through prayer. Maybe you write down what's bothering you, what's going on in your world. Maybe you find yourself in a closet by yourself where nobody can hear what you're saying, and you lay it all out. Maybe when you're commuting to work, make sure you're paying attention to the road. But take time in the midst of all that to lay it all out to God and allow him to hear what you have to say. Maybe it's something you do with a spouse or prayer partner or accountability partner, whatever it might be. But find a way this week, every day, when you go to God in prayer, to unload, to give God your stress and worry, and watch that peace that surpasses understanding follow quickly behind. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be here for you to pray with. You move in whatever way God is calling after I pray while Bill sings. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you so much for this morning. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. God, we thank you for being present through your spirit. God, we thank you for the gift of prayer. And God, we pray that through our encounter with you this morning, that we have been changed. God, bring peace in a peaceless world. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.